Okay, so the title of this message is A New Life, and it comes from this passage, which again we read earlier. But Paul is sharing, and he's talking about how infinite and stuff God's grace is, and he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means." He says, "We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And so I love this symbolism of being, dying to our old self and being raised to new life in Christ. And Paul goes on to say, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life." We too may have a new life. Now, we all come from different places, but I think for many people, the idea of a new life is something that's very positive. And, even again, talking with Debbie about what her life and experience was like, very, very difficult. And so a lot of us have gone through very difficult places. Some of us have lost significant people. Sometimes parents, sometimes children, and so I think we, from time to time, we think, if life could be different. And so I just asked the question this morning: have you ever wanted a new life? I have. Most of us have probably wished for a new life at one time or other. How many people have seen the new movie Aladdin? About three. Okay, you can admit to it. I went to see it. It is a musical. And but the idea is the genie, you find his lamp, you rub it, he gives you three wishes. And so I think sometimes as we think about stuff like this, we would like the idea that if God could somehow be a genie and just maybe change our life, give us a new life, take away the bad thing that happened, or maybe that terrible mistake we made, if he could just erase it. Erase the consequences, erase the scars. But it's more kind of a wish kind of idea. But what Paul says is very true, is that Jesus does give us a new life. And one thing that bothers me in church is I think we talk about a new life, but we don't always recognize that there is a new life. It's not just words, but something that we can experience. So Paul later talks about this new life in a little bit of a different way. He says, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." So he's talking about the new life in a little bit of a different way. But I want you to think now about this next verse, because it really, this message for me, as I thought about baptism, and I was thinking about the church and the heart of the church, and what are we? Is who we are that we gather on a Sunday morning and we sing songs and we hear a sermon. Who are we? Is it that we do a vacation Bible school every year, or that we do a picnic every year? What is it that makes us who we are? Why do we exist? Do we really get it? And sometimes we get lost in the whole deal. So I want to think about that this morning. But so here's Paul's talking about the new life, but then we hear Jesus saying this, and I think we really need to try to get our arms around this. Jesus says, and if you could hear him saying it to you today, based on your background, based on everything that you've gone through, based on maybe your future, hear these words of Jesus. "I have come," and hear this, "that you may have life and have it to the full." I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I think sometimes we think, well, what does that mean? And for us, so often, I think it means the things that are just kind of outward. You know, do we have the right, do we have enough money? Do we have a good job? You know, how do people view us and think about us? Is our health good? You know, all those things. Do we get to play? Do we have the ability to do the things that we want to do? Are we not lonely? Is our life full in that sense? And I think a lot of times we can chase a lot of things to try to make our life full that really don't satisfy. Jesus said this, and I think this is if you really would think about this for a minute, Jesus says, "What good is it if a man gains the whole world and then loses his soul?" I mean, if you could think, wow, if I could have the whole world, if I could have all that the world could give me, I mean, that would be it. And Jesus says, what good is it? So I just want to, I'm putting this up here in three different versions, but part of it is just to emphasize these words of Jesus. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Not just words, but he wants to give us a rich and satisfying life. And then the NRSV says it this way, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus wants us to have this abundant life. And again, far more than words. Far more than words. I was reading a book, and the author included this list. It was a female author. And I think it should be called maybe the list of shoulds, but what is written is written. Okay, so I want to read to you from this list. So this pastor had written this list, and this is what was on her list, the list of shoulds. I should always do whatever is necessary to have a good relationship with God. I should always do whatever is necessary to have a good relationship with my family. I should always get everything on my to-do list done, including this list. I should never forget anything. I should always do everything to the best of my ability. I should always be pleasant. I should always look put together. I should be well-read. I should always keep my house clean and organized. I should ensure my kids are always well-behaved and well-adjusted. I should not burden others with my feelings or needs. I should exercise every day. I should always say yes when others ask for help. I should be well informed about current events. I should entertain in my home regularly. I should be very involved in my kids' school. I should give my kids every possible opportunity. I should know the names of all the parents of my kids' friends. I should be very involved in my neighborhood and know all my neighbors' names. I should be very... Now, this was my sheet. I tried to throw it in there, but I feel guilty putting it off on this author. This is my list, at least half of it. I should be very involved at church. I should witness to all my coworkers. I should never get depressed or discouraged, and I should be joyful and at peace. What's interesting is I was reading this list. I'm reading it. I'm like going, amen, amen. Yeah, do everything. Yeah, amen. Then I'm reading the list. And we all have a list like this in our heads. And as the list started to get longer and longer and longer, I'm thinking, this is impossible. This is one thing I was going through today. Somebody gave me a birthday card. If it's you, I can't find it. No idea where it is. None. Disappeared. How depressing. How awful. And it's just kind of like so often life just gets so busy and so overwhelming, and we have this huge list of shoulds. And we talk about Jesus saying, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we're just like stooped over with all the stuff we got going on in our life. We think, how do we do the same? How do we have an abundant life, especially when we have a list like this in our heads? Really a list that's impossible to live. I read from the manual earlier today, and that manual gives you a list of what a Nazarene looks like. Things that they should do and things that they shouldn't do. I was going to read you the list of shoulds for the pastor. It was about 4 or 5 pages. It was just boom, 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 boom. And it's just like, wow, it's overwhelming. But I think this is true. You can't be joyful and at peace if you're trying to just live the list. If you're trying to live this list in your mind of all the things that Christians should do. It's very interesting to me. I've been reading through Matthew this week. And Jesus shared something that I thought was very, very interesting. Of course, he's in this chapter, he's dealing with children. They're coming up to him and stuff like this. But he says this at the very beginning of chapter 18. He says, I tell you the truth. And just think again about these lists that we have in our minds. all that we're trying to do for the Lord. Think about the Pharisees who had these huge lists of laws. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And so when you think about that, and again, you think about our propensity for the lists, the rules, whatever, however you want to think about it. Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm thinking about the Pharisees and their huge list. I'm thinking about myself, my own huge list. I'm thinking about you, your own list. Even to get baptized. Poor Debbie. We had to drag her up here in front of everybody. That's not easy. But it's just, so we're often so burdened. But Jesus says, listen, turn from your sins and become like little children. And I thought, you know, it's so interesting. And I think he means this by becoming like little children, that, you know, you can accept the fact that you're loved, that you're safe. Now, everybody doesn't grow up with this, but I grew up with a sense that I was safe. And that, you know, that I was loved. My parents weren't going to throw me out to the curb or anything like that. And so for us to be able to think, you know what, God loves me. God loves me. Jesus says, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So I want to remind you again, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So I was thinking about, well, what does it mean to be a member of this church? Do we have an Oxford Church of the Nazarene list? We kind of do. And so again, I think sometimes we can miss this full life that Jesus is offering us because we have this huge list of shoulds. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Now I believe where Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, that the full life begins, not in a real, real strict sense, but basically and mostly the full life begins when we become children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We know that we're Christians. We know that our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done. And a lot of times people in the church, they just stop at that. I mean, where do you need to go past that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And I'm thinking, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I talk about the idea of having a get out of hell free card. Salvation is so much more than a get out of hell free card. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, no matter what the circumstances of your life are. He didn't say, listen, if you got all the money you need, if you're in a great relationship, if everything is working for you, you can have a full life in Christ Jesus. The great thing about this passage is that it's true regardless of our circumstances. Do you believe that? I'm looking at Denny. I think you believe it. I'm just looking at you. But I want you to think about so much more that Christ has for us, more than just knowing that we're a child of God. I think about the time in my life when I really realized that God wanted to be Lord. That I came to that realization that, listen, I still want to be boss. Nobody likes to be bossed. Nobody likes to have somebody tell them this and that to do, at least most people. And I think sometimes even for us, we realize, you know what, this walk with Christ is, God wants everything. Everything. If he says go there, he expects that we go. If he says say this, he expects that we say it. If he says don't say this, he expects we won't say it. And so that battle sometimes that we have, am I going to be all God's? I mean, that's a huge, terrible battle. I fought it. But what an incredible thing when you can come out on the other side and say, God, I will do what you want me to do, no matter what it means. Boy, the freedom that brings. But there's so many other things along the way. I mean, God is moving in my life. So I want to talk about this being changed. The bad thing is for me, I so badly want to be creative. I'm just not that creative. But I came up with this as creativeness, okay? This word being changed. So I'm thinking about, what does it mean to be a person here at the church of the Oxford Church of the End, member here, not officially a member necessarily, but this is my church family. What does it mean? And I'm thinking it's this. Listen, if you're part of this place, you're about being changed. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that doesn't just mean that you believed in Jesus and you're his child. There's so much more to that. And so it's about being changed over and over again. Okay, now it's going to start getting good, so hold on. There's just really brief slides from this point on, okay? So it's about being changed. So if you're wondering, should I do VBS? I have no idea if you should. If you don't have a good reason not to, you probably should. Minimally, you could pray. So there's all kinds of, but I don't want to tell you how to live your life. But I want to say this. If you're thinking about, how do I simplify my life? Jesus says, listen, unless you turn from your sins and become like this child, you can't enter the kingdom. So I want to tell you this. As you think about your life in the church, it's about being changed. Not say, hey, on this date, I prayed this prayer, I'm good to go. Now I'll just, whatever. That's not how it was designed to be. It's about being changed. Now this is getting good. God is alive in my life, and I am being changed. That is a statement of testimony for me. I am being changed. One of the things that I am being changed in is this idea that I'll have people say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can pastor so many people and do this and be this. And I think, listen, I can't. I can't. I can only do that for so many. I can only be God for a small amount of people. You know, you think I'm being God for all of you? No, I'm not. I'm just going to try to be God for a few of you. So when you come to me with a problem, I got an answer. I had somebody tell me one day, Pastor Larry, you've got to say X, Y, and Z to this person to get them to change what they're doing. No problem. I'm clever. I know the Bible. I'll do it. How stupid is that? And God is setting me free. You know, it's like, it's not even like, look at me, but it's like, look at Jesus. Because I can say this, it's true. Jesus is alive in me. Am I perfect? No. And do you have problems? Yes. Can I help you? I might possibly be able to help you. But the only person who can really help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it becomes my job to say, look to him. Don't look to me. But God is alive, and so I'm being changed. And so I like that. And so one question for all of us today, have you been changed? You know, where are you at in your road with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I just think, Debbie, I just think about your story. I think it's very interesting. All the years and all the things. And God works in the life of your aunt. Says, come to church. Would you like to be saved? Don Hamm has got a great salvation story too. Friend tricked him over, coming over, then tried to pray for him. He thought he was going over there to party. Boy, is that a dirty double cross. Instead of getting a good hangover the next day, he met Jesus. But part of the question is, have you been changed? Do you know that you know that you're a child of God? But then even beyond that, because so many of us would say, yeah, I absolutely have been changed. But the question then for me is, but are you being changed? Are you being changed? Now, we've all hit places where we get in a rut or we're going through difficult times. I've experienced it myself. One of the huge catalysts for me right now, personally, spiritually, is my classes that I'm taking for seminary. It's like I'm reading all these books and God is challenging me and he's teaching me things, and I'm reading things like that list, and I'm saying amen to that list. Go, girl, go, go, go. I'm with you. I even got a longer list. I think I'm more spiritual than you. But the truth is, I'm not more spiritual, I'm dumber. Unless you become like this child, unless you turn from your sins, you can't be a part of the kingdom. It isn't complicated. It's not a huge list that you follow. But the question for us right now is, are you being changed? Now, I thought about this. Somebody told me something the other day, and they were real excited about it. And I thought, if I tell that story, I might identify who the person is. So I'm making up a story. I'm being serious. You'll know it when I say it. But I was thinking, you know what? If I came to this thing, this understanding, that as I watch TV, that if I lifted my right arm and winked my eyes, it stimulated my abs. And so all I had to do for a half an hour a day is raise my arm and blink my eyes, stimulate my abs, and after about 6 months, I'm like a rock. How many people think I could keep that a secret? No, there's no way. If that were true, everybody in this place would know. All you guys and everybody else I met. I'm saying, you're going to find it's hard to believe, but I'm telling you, raise your right arm, blink your eyes at this pace, it stimulates your abs. Next thing you know, you're fixed. So, but here, I say this to say this. Are you being changed? I'm being changed. I have something to share. God has not left me where I am. God does not want to leave you where you are. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. He wants you to have an abundant life. He doesn't want you looking at other people and say, oh, if I could have their life, that is an abundant life. Well, you don't get to have somebody else's life. You only get yours. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have an abundant life. Now, I think that's exciting. But one of the things with the church is, it's like, are we being changed? Do we have something to share? That guy tricked Don Hamm because he had something he wanted Don to know. So the thing is, are you being changed? Do you have something to say? And let me just say this. I originally put change is exciting, exclamation point. I knew exactly what I meant, but I was thinking you're going to read that and say, uh-uh, change is not exciting. But what I mean by that is this. Personal positive change is exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting when you grow. It's exciting if you're fearful and then you lose your fear. It is. I love to tell that story about being scared of Carrie, which I was, and how God infused me with strength. And I'm being serious. I share that story because I love it. Personal positive change is incredible. But people in the church, you and me sometimes, we sit around like bumps on a log because what do we got to share? And so I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, here's Jesus' plan for you and for me. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I don't care what your personal circumstances are. Sometimes it's good to know that God can help you with the most impossible of things. But you never know that until you get in the most impossible of situations. It's just the way it goes. So I'm thinking of this. What would it be like in the church when we're all being changed? And here's what we like to do with change. Here's the change I want. I want to, every time I see a picture, I cringe. Jim Hurt commented on my shirt today. I was afraid to take my jacket off, to be honest with you. You know what I want to do? I want to eat better, and I want chest muscles. I'm serious. I've said it enough. But you know what? The God of the universe might say, you know what? What difference does that make? Maybe you need to love your wife better. Maybe you need to pray more. Of course I want to eat better. Of course I want to have chest muscles. Who wouldn't? I'm starting to envy big arms too. You know, the shirts and the... I mean, they don't have to be like sculpture, just big. You know, Dan Smith's got some pretty good arms, like that. I mean, I'm not being greedy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we think, oh, God, I know exactly what I need. And he says, you know what? I know exactly what you need. And somehow, in the midst of the difficulty of our life, we got to trust him. And so he's like, man, this church isn't about being perfect people. It's about people being changed. It's about people having a story to share. So I'm done. This is my last thing. So here, okay, so here's my creativity. Dennis, I don't know how we're going to, like, PR it. I'm not going to give you the third one because that's coming June 23rd. Being changed, offering change. Offering change. I think in life, again, even on my list, I should witness to all my coworkers. We got this thing. But you know what? I've never seen anybody have a difficult time sharing positive things in their life. You know, you find a $50 bill, you share that with people. Good things happen, you share it with people. And so again, for me, I just keep thinking, again, behind it all is Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And it doesn't come by all the things you think it comes by. It comes by a relationship with me. But if we're being changed, if we're seeing positive change, and again, be careful about what you want God to change. Because maybe he's not interested in that thing that you want to be changed right now. He knows. But to be changed, but then when you're being changed, you have something to offer. And maybe your situation is unique, but God's going to bring somebody in your life to say, hey, man, your story can make a difference in their story. First thing that comes to my mind is that time that that pastor gave me that check when we were just so, our money was just gone. And I'm sitting next to a girl at work and she's just saying, I don't know what to do. My money is just gone. And I said, I'm not saying God will do this for you, but let me tell you what God did for me. Maybe he'll do it for you. If we're being changed, it's not hard to offer change. But if we're living a list, what fun is that? One, it's impossible. Nobody wants to sign on to a list. We're off in a relationship with the God of the universe that cares for us. And that Jesus' purpose, or one of the purposes of his life, is that we would have life and have it to the full. Yes, that our sins would be forgiven, but that our lives would be changed. Max Lucado wrote a book, God Loves You Just the Way You Are, but Refuses to Leave You That Way. You know what I'm loving about my life right now at 53? God is healing me of a lot of hurt. He's healing me. I like that. And I hope you'll see God healing me. Because I think God wants to heal you. I know, Jesus says, I have come. You put your name in there that they would have life and have it abundantly. But we cannot get that our way. God is not a genie. It isn't just wishing hard enough. It's about just turning from our sins and becoming like a child. I just think that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? So I'm thinking, what would it be like to pastor a church where everybody in the church is, they're thinking, you know what, my life is about being changed. Because Jesus said, I've come that you'd have life and have it to the full. Well, I want to experience that life. And right now my life is dominated by fear. Right now my life is dominated by confusion. You can't have a full life when that dominates your life. So I'm thinking, God has an answer for you. That's exciting. If we're being changed, it isn't a whole lot to offer change. Like I said, man, if I discovered something, that I'd share it immediately. And I do have something to share. And I think a lot of you guys have something to share. But it's not about, hey, you know what? If you pray this prayer, you can go to heaven when you die. I say this, man. Jesus Christ came so you would have abundant life. Now, you'll want to come to June 23rd because I'm going to really... tie it all together. There is going to be a cover charge for that one, though. Pray, team, if you'll come. Oh, being changed. I love that idea. Pastor Brian talked about Pentecost Sunday. There's a passage in the Bible, and Brian would know it because he's more Bible smart than me, but it talks about this. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I know everybody's life here is not perfect or wonderful. And Father, I'm not talking about some kind of just doing the right thing so you'll give us what we wish for. But Father, I pray that we would be captured by Jesus' words, I have come, that they would have life and have it to the full. Father, you know how we are. We get stuck in ruts. We get consumed with things. And we just feel like it's natural. We feel like, well, I'm a believer and this is my life, and so I guess that's just the way it is. Father, I pray that in the morning when we wake up, we would remember that Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the full. And there's no way we can have this life in our own strength. Our own plans will not bring us what we seek. Only you can give us what we really long for. So, Father, help us to do that. But I just think about the world. I mean, we're in the church. We read the Word. We get it, at least to a certain extent. But, Father, there are people out there that are thinking, I wish I could have a new life. And, Father, instead of being afraid of those people, instead of being afraid to share, I pray that you would just help us to be able to share what you're doing in our life. That you're not just captured in a book and words, but you're alive. And you live in our lives through your Holy Spirit. We praise you for that. Father, help us to get excited about the truth that change is not only available for us, real change, life-fulfilling, satisfying change, but it's out there for the people we love and care for. So, Father, help us to take all this very seriously, but also help us to be rejoice in what you've given us. We praise you today together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's